Hey everyone, Brittany Lynch here with you, about to bring a very exciting interview on how to start traveling for free in the next few months. Today I'm going to be interviewing Scott, who runs an amazing travel blog called milevalue.com, and he really talks about how to think systematically about collecting and redeeming miles in order to travel for free. Despite being only 27 years old, he's traveled in first class for free to over 55 countries. Thanks for being here, Scott.
Thanks for having me, Brittany.
Why don't you start by telling us a little bit more about yourself and how and why you got into travel hacking, as well as maybe what it means to collect miles or a travel hack for those who are unfamiliar with these concepts?
Okay, so I'm originally from Hawaii, and I always wanted to get off the island and had a lot of wanderlust. So I used to travel a bit in my early 20s, but the costs were adding up, so I found online a community of people, travel hackers, who are traveling around the world and paying less or nothing than I was. So I decided to learn all I could about that area. And then a few years ago, in 2012, I started my own blog, milevalue.com, about travel hacking to teach other people how to do it. So travel hacking is just using every trick in the book, but mainly frequent flyer miles and credit card points to travel more, better, and cheaper.
Okay, awesome. And you've really been to over 55 countries in the last few years using these methods.
That's an outdated bio. Now I'm at, I think, like 63 or something. But yeah, it's this is how I travel, and this is how anybody could travel if they just took the time to learn a few of the basics.
Cool. Well, hopefully we'll be able to cover some of those basics today. I have probably maybe a tricky follow-up question, but I wanted to ask you if I wanted to book a trip to London, call it from New York City, in the next 60 days, 100% with points, would this be possible? And if it is, could you maybe talk us through what steps I need to take in order to make this happen?
Okay, so it's definitely possible. The only thing stopping you from taking a trip with miles is opening a credit card and getting the bonus miles from that credit card.
Okay.
So the time frame for that is usually that you need to apply for a credit card, it needs to come in the mail, that takes about a week. You need to spend on it because the bonus is usually tied to having spent a certain amount on the card. And then once the statement closes where you've met that spending requirement, you're going to get your miles. So
Okay.
that total time frame is usually like 35 to 45 days minimum.
Okay.
So in that amount of time, you could book the trip to the UK. So here's what I would specifically do for a trip from New York to London. First, I would get the United card. It's called the United Explorer card. It's a credit card offered to anyone with an American Social Security number from Chase. And it offers, some versions of it offer 50,000 bonus United miles after spending $2,000 on the card in the first 3 months. So I would get this card. While I was applying for it, you'll see that you can get another 5,000 bonus miles just for adding authorized users. So I would add my friend or spouse or brother or sister or mother as an authorized user. And then I would spend on the card. So you're already at 55,000 bonus miles if you're keeping track. The 50,000 bonus from the card, the 5,000 from the authorized user. The card earns one mile per dollar, so you just need to spend $5,000 on the card to get to 60,000 total miles, which is enough for a round trip from the US to Europe. So that $5,000, you could spend it in 1 month, or you could spend it in 5 months, however long it takes you, and you'll have enough miles.
Wow, okay, so really it's a matter of signing up for one credit card in order to get enough points to travel for free to London.
Yeah, signing up for the one credit card and spending $5,000. Now, there's a few tips or tricks to get this right. So, if someone listening tried to go off and do this, they would probably get it wrong. I would say the first tip is you have to sign up for the right version.
Okay. And by right version, you mean just the United credit card, or is it a specific type of credit card that gives you that 50,000 points?
Sure. So Chase offers the United card. The standard bonus on the card is 30,000 miles, but they offer a 50,000 bonus mile offer for the exact same card on a few special websites or at the airport. If you're ever walking through the Houston or Chicago airports, they often offer it there. So you need to know where to find that 50,000 bonus mile offer,
Gotcha.
which I always have a list of the best cards on milevalley.com, so it's easy to just go there and I can point you to the right spot.
Check that out. Okay.
So you need to get the right offer. You need to add the 5,000 mile bonus from adding the authorized user when you're doing the application. And here's a little trick about that. They send you the authorized user card, so you can put anyone's name on it and then just cut it up. Don't even give it to that person if you don't trust anyone.
That's interesting.
A few other tips about actually booking the trip. One, your example was London. So London, when you book an award ticket, it's not completely free. You pay the miles, plus you pay taxes.
Okay.
And the taxes vary by country and by airport. And it just so happens that the United Kingdom has the highest taxes on aviation. So if you booked what you're talking about, it would be $200 in taxes.
Okay.
But if you book to a different city, say Stockholm, it would be like $50 or $60 in taxes. And here's something you can do if you really want to go to London but don't want to pay those taxes. On a round-trip United award to Europe, you can add in a stopover. So you could fly Newark to London, stopover for a week or however long, then fly London to somewhere else in Europe with cheaper taxes that you also wanted to see, like Stockholm, stay there for however long you want, and then fly back. It's the same number of 60,000 miles. You've reduced the taxes a lot to about $50 or $60 total, and you've seen an extra city. So it's kind of win-win-win.
So you can add a stopover for free or whatever the taxes is for that final destination.
Yeah, so it every type of miles has different rules, and the rules for United are that on a round-trip award, you can add a stopover in addition to your destination. So it's kind of a way to two places for the price of one.
Yeah, that's a really good tip to keep in mind for everyone, is you can go to two destinations rather than one with those same miles. So I really like that. There was two things that you kind of mentioned that made me want to ask you additional questions. You said American social insurance card. So for the non-American listeners, is it possible, is travel hacking as possible? Are there credit card offers designed for other countries and citizens as well?
Yeah, I feel bad for non-Americans because Americans have such a better leg up in this area because we just have so many competing banks, so many competing airlines that the bonuses on credit cards are huge.
Okay.
So I know that Canada has some credit cards with bonus miles, I think from American Express, and there's probably an Aeroplan card, but the bonuses are a lot smaller. So people in other countries will definitely not get nearly as many miles from credit card signups. They can play the game by when they fly a paid flight, you know, you earn miles, so they can earn those wisely and redeem those wisely. And then there's also options to buy miles at really discounted prices that can save you a lot of money on booking trips in some cases.
Okay. So, yeah, there are non-credit card options too, and we'll get into that in just a second, but there are options for people who aren't American. But what we're saying is the credit card game is really the best in the United States.
Yes.
Okay. All right, and then one more thing that you had mentioned was minimum spend. So it sounds like a lot of these credit cards, they'll give you the miles, but you do have to commit to spending a certain amount on their credit cards. I know on your blog you talk about a number of kind of crafty ways to use that minimum spend so that you're not just using $2,000 on things that you don't need. Maybe could you give us one or two recommendations for how to meet that minimum spend number?
Well, first, just put every bit of your spending on a credit card. Stop paying for things in cash when credit cards are accepted. Stop paying for things with debit cards. I mean, I think most people probably spend at least $1,000 a month on things, and so you can put all that on your credit card, and all of a sudden you can meet a minimum spending requirement of $3,000 in 3 months, which is pretty typical.
Yeah.
So most people don't really need to do anything besides just putting things on their credit card. But there are ways to put almost every bit of spending on your credit card. So you can even pay your rent with a credit card, although you'll pay about a 2 or 2.5% fee for doing it. There's special websites that allow you to do that. And it can be worth it to meet a minimum spending requirement. And then the last thing I do is if I'm just short of meeting a minimum spending requirement, I don't want to just go out and buy something I don't need, so I'll go buy a gift card to the grocery store where I shop or a gift card to the gas station where I fill up, and right. That allows me to just move forward that spending, so it's going to help me meet this minimum spending requirement, and then I can use it the next few weeks or few months as I need it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Using those gift cards, if you're short just a little bit for that month. So those are some good tips. Okay, so you mentioned credit card points. On your blog, you mentioned something that really stuck with me. With miles, you always need to work backwards from your goals to which miles are best for those goals, to which strategy is best for earning the miles you need. That's something you said on your blog. And you mentioned that there are five types of miles. Credit card points pretending to be miles, airline points, region-based miles, distance-based miles, and transferable points. Could you walk me briefly through each types of these points and why are they all important? Do you need all five types of points in order to successfully travel hack?
Sure. So I guess the big confusion is the word miles can mean a ton of different things, and credit cards and airlines and banks in their marketing, sometimes they, I think, intentionally obfuscate the point to make it more confusing for people so that people don't know what they're getting, how to redeem them, and things like that. So you said that there are five, you listed out the five types of miles, and basically it's just there are five different conceptual things that are sometimes called miles, but they're all totally different, and each one has a totally different best use and worst use. So depending on what your trip goal is, you need to get the right type of miles. So let's talk about the types of miles and which what they're good for. So the first one, credit card points pretending to be miles. And the reason I say that is because if you've ever watched TV in the US, you've definitely seen a Capital One commercial. Jennifer Garner has been on them for the last few years, and she's saying, like, get the Capital One card. It earns double miles, and you can redeem them on every flight. Don't you hate when your miles, when you try to redeem them, and there's no flights, no seats available? So that card, it's advertising itself as earning miles, but those are really just credit card points pretending to be miles. Those are not, those quote-unquote miles are worth 1 cent each towards any flight. That's what they're worth. They're not what you think of as miles where you need to earn, like we were just talking about, 60,000 to go to Europe. You need to earn 1 point for every penny that your ticket is. So credit card points pretending to be miles, they're not really miles, they're pennies. And there is a use for them. If you want to just fly domestic United States, go home to visit family over the holidays or something, these can be the best miles because as we'll talk about with the other types of miles, with the other types of miles you need to search for award space. The airline needs to release award space for you to be able to use them. But with these credit card points that are pretending to be miles, you can book any flight at a fixed rate. So that's the first type. The second type is airline points. So that would be like Southwest or Virgin America. Sometimes they call them points, sometimes they call them miles, but again, they're worth a fixed rate. So in the case of Southwest, they're worth about 1.4 cents each, or Virgin America, about 2.1 cents each. And again, they can be used towards any flight on that airline at that fixed rate. So that's why I call them points, because they still have that fixed rate nature. And these can.
So would Aeroplan be, are those miles by the airline or are those airline points? I get a little confused by the two.
Aeroplan is going to be region-based miles, which we're going to talk about in a second. Those are real miles. So airline points, they're fixed value. You can use them on any flight on that airline, but at a fixed rate. So those are good if you fly Southwest a lot. Southwest points are great. If you fly Virgin America points are great. But we'll contrast them with the next types of miles, and I'll say that Southwest points are not great if you want to fly international first class, because Southwest doesn't fly that way. So the third type of miles, and this was the only type of miles for a long time, are region-based miles. So this is what American Airlines has, United, Delta, Aeroplan, all of these big programs that have been around the longest, they're all region-based miles. And what region-based miles means is that to book an award ticket, you need to, the way you figure out its price is by figuring out which region you're departing from and which region you're arriving in. So United States to Europe is one price on the award chart. And it doesn't matter whether you're flying New York to London or Los Angeles to Paris, it's United States to Europe. So the price of the award is based on the region. And then the price of the award is also based on the cabin. So economy has one price, business has one price, first class has one price. And what you'll find with region-based miles is that they're often a good deal for international trips, and they're usually a really great deal for business and first class trips, because a cash ticket, business class, might be 5 times the price of economy, but with region-based miles, it's probably 50% more or 100% more.
So when you were referencing earlier flying from New York to, let's call it Stockholm, it's 60,000 miles. Now, would that be for economy or would that be for a business class?
Yeah, that's so New York to Stockholm on United's chart is 60,000 miles round trip in economy. In business class, it's 115,000 miles round trip, so a little less than twice as much. And in first class, it's 160,000 miles round trip. So even though business and first class would probably be like 5 and 10 times more expensive with cash and credit card points pretending to be miles because those have a fixed rate in relation to cash. With region-based miles, you can get a reasonably priced business or first class international ticket.
Right, okay. And you said credit card points pretending to be miles, but in the case of the credit card you mentioned earlier, the United credit card, that's actually giving you miles, right? Those aren't points pretending to be miles.
Those are giving you real United miles, which is a region-based type of miles.
Okay, awesome. And what about distance-based miles?
So distance-based miles, instead of determining the price of the award based on which region you take off from and which region you land in, it's based on the exact distance of the flight or flights you fly. And these can be a really great deal if you're flying short flights that are really expensive. So a great example of that is just within the United States, Los Angeles to Honolulu is the same distance as Los Angeles to New York, but it usually sells, in my experience, for 50 to 100% more. So you can use distance-based miles, get a really cheap price on short direct flights. And the main distance-based program is British Airways. British Airways miles are the main distance-based miles. And I know a lot of people listening to this don't live in the United Kingdom. I don't live in the United Kingdom, but I have a lot of British Airways miles because they're actually really useful for Americans, for Canadians to fly domestically within the US or within the Americas on British Airways' partners for these cheap distance-based prices.
Because they're good bang for your buck if you're traveling short distances.
Yeah, if you're flying short, expensive flights, then distance-based miles are what you want. And one thing to remember with both region-based miles and distance-based miles is that just because you have United miles or British Airways miles doesn't mean you need to fly United or British Airways. You can fly any of that airline's partners, which nowadays is usually around 25 to 30 partners that you can book with one type of miles.
So there's a lot of different options for actually redeeming the miles.
Yeah, I've never redeemed British Airways miles for British Airways flights. I've always redeemed them for American Airlines flights, for LAN flights, which is a South American airline, for Qantas flights, which is an Australian airline.
Okay, well, that's really good to keep in mind. And then transferable points was kind of one of the ones that I was most curious about. So, how do those work?
So transferable points are the most versatile. They're something that beginners should really focus on. And the only reason why they're last is because the points that they transfer into are these first four types of points. So there's three big transferable points programs in the US: Chase Ultimate Rewards, American Express Membership Rewards, and Citi Thank You Points. And in most other countries, American Express Membership Rewards and Citi Thank You Points also operate. And the way transferable points work is you earn these points on your credit card. Like, let's take Citi Thank You Points as an example. You earn Citi Thank You Points when you're spending on your credit card, and then when you want to redeem, you have a lot of options.
So, which airlines and hotel programs should our listeners join today? Because when you walked through the example of flying from New York to London or Stockholm, you mentioned United Miles and signing up for that credit card. Now, that sounded pretty straightforward. Then you talked about the five different types of miles, and there's for the credit card points, there's Capital One. For airline points, you mentioned Southwest. Region-based miles, you mentioned I mentioned Aeroplan. Distance-based miles, you mentioned British Airways. So there's a lot of different, it sounds like, programs that you're a member of. So what's kind of like a go-to list of program hotel programs or airline programs that our listeners should join in order to start?
Okay, for an American, I would start with signing up for United, American Airlines, Delta, British Airways, and any other airline you fly. And for a Canadian, I would start off with Aeroplan, British Airways, and any airline you fly. I think what's important when you're signing up for these programs is it's free, so it'll just take you a few minutes. And what you want to do is you want to sign up for one program from each of the three airline alliances, the Star Alliance, Oneworld, and SkyTeam. And
Okay.
the reason you want to do that is because every time you fly a paid flight, most airlines in the world, except for the newer low-cost carriers, are members of one of these three alliances. And so you can credit the miles you earn from to one of the three first programs I mentioned, United, American, and Delta. For instance, I just flew Turkish Airways from Lithuania to Serbia, and I credited those miles to United Miles.
Okay. So it's best to join one from each program. And I think I read this somewhere on your blog. Do you try to credit the same program so that your miles are distributed across, many different programs, or is there a strategy around that?
Yeah, so the main thing you want to do is not orphan any of your miles. So you don't want to just earn 1,000 Aeroplan miles and that's it, because that's never enough. That's not enough to do anything. So you want to focus on a few programs where you can transfer in all of your flights so that you can build a balance you can actually redeem. And then if you get really involved, then you want to start spreading out into all the different types of miles that you can always have the right miles for your next goal, your next trip goal.
Right. And I think it's important to kind of mention that, starting out, if you're just looking to book one flight, it's quite straightforward to do that. As you mentioned, you took us through an example of booking a flight from New York City to Stockholm or London using one credit card with United Miles. But as you get more into it, you're going to maybe sign up for more credit cards, get more points on different programs. And that's where, all five types of points become important when you're trying to book and redeem multiple flights. Is that right or fair to say?
Yeah, I think the way that a beginner should attack it is start with one goal, accomplish that goal. They'll usually find that it's not very difficult. And then once they're hooked because they've had that success of a free trip, then they can start delving deeper into it and exploring all the tricks and all the hacks in the hobby.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense because, I mean, with anything that you learn new, obviously there's a point where it could get a bit overwhelming, but it is fairly straightforward. But start with that one goal, work on that, and then once that's done, you can make another goal for another trip, and you'll learn these little nuances as you kind of go through it. And Scott's blog is fantastic for really understanding how these different point systems work. I really do find that you are able to, talk about how to use these loopholes or these strategies in a way that is easy to understand. So I really appreciate that. Now, speaking of beginners, what would you say? I know you mentioned one credit card already. Are there maybe two other credit cards you would recommend for beginners when it comes to collecting miles?
Sure. So it really depends on your goals. I mean, you quoted me earlier saying start with your goals and work backwards. So there is no single best credit card for every goal. You need to have your goal in mind and then figure out the best credit card for that goal. But a few cards that are useful for a lot of goals because they earn transferable points, which means you have a lot of options when it comes time to redeem them. I think beginners should start with the Citi Thank You Premier card. I love it because it offers 50,000 bonus points after spending $3,000 in the first 3 months.
Okay.
And it offers 3 points per dollar when you're booking travel purchases or when you're buying gas. And it offers 2 times the points when you're dining out or on entertainment, which is like concert tickets and movie tickets and things. So I love it because the points just rack up so fast with the bonus, the sign-up bonus and the category bonuses. And then when it's time to redeem, thank you points can be used to book any flight on any airline.
Because these are
At a,
transferable points.
yeah, so there's two, yeah, they're transferable points, and there's two ways to redeem them. The first one is the simplest way, any flight on any airline, and if you do that, you're going to get 1.25 cents per thank you point.
Okay.
So $100 ticket, 10,000 points, that's easy. And then the other way is if you want to get more creative, or if you want to fly business class or first class, you can transfer thank you points to to any of 11 different airlines, and then you can use those miles just gotten to book any of those airlines partners. So almost any airline in the world you can book if you transfer to the right partner.
Right. Okay, so they're really flexible points then.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why I love that. And another card that's similarly flexible, it just has different partners, is the Chase Sapphire Preferred card. They advertise this one a lot more heavily on TV. It's 40,000 bonus ultimate reward points. after spending $4,000 in the first 3 months, and it earns 2 points per dollar on dining out and travel. And then when you want to redeem them, it has about 10 partners you can transfer to that are different partners from the Citi Thank You Points. So it's great to be in both programs, so then you have even more flexibility.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so those are two transferable point programs and credit cards that you suggest our listeners open up, because it really is good and flexible for a beginner to kind of use, and I guess anyone who's even more advanced as well.
Yeah, they're cards I've had before and that I currently have.
Okay. Now, speaking of opening credit cards, I know that kind of scares some people, well, for a number of reasons, but I'm specifically thinking of credit right now. So what would you suggest? Would you open all three credit cards at once? Would you space them out? How does all of this impact your credit?
So I would open them all on the same day, just one after the other, applying online. If you can meet the minimum spending requirement on all three cards, which would be $9,000 total in the first 3 months, without spending any extra money than you normally do. If you can't do that, then you can do them one at a time as you can meet their minimum spending requirements. The reason why I prefer to apply for them all at once, if possible, is because one factor banks look at when approving new credit cards is how many credit cards you've applied for recently. So they tend to kind of miss applications from that day. So that's why I bunch all of my applications together on the same day.
Interesting.
But more importantly, how does it affect your credit score? So I've opened, I think, over three dozen cards in the last few years, and my credit score is in the mid-700s. I'm doing fine. I know people that have opened a lot more cards, and their score is above 800, and the maximum is 850, and most people think anything above 700 is really good. So you can definitely open a lot of cards and still maintain a good score. The key is just to understand how each part of a credit card's life cycle affects your score. And you can find all of this information on myfico.com, which is the main credit scoring agency. And what you'll see is that opening a card will hurt your score slightly. I usually find mine drops 2 to 5 points per application. And that's just because inquiries for credit hurts your score. But holding onto the card for a while will increase your score pretty quickly, because the new card will have a new credit limit, new credit line, and the bigger your credit line is, the higher your credit score is, and also because you'll have a history of paying that credit card on time, which is the biggest factor in your credit score.
Yeah.
So I think if you're responsible about not spending extra on your new credit cards, just buying the things you would normally put on your debit card or with cash or with your old credit cards, and you're responsible about paying in full every month so you never pay any interest, I don't think we'll see much effect on your credit score. It could rise even if you don't currently have a lot of credit history.
And the key really is just to be responsible. You know, don't open three credit cards if you have a history of not paying your credit cards on time, or think that that's going to be tough for you to handle, right?
Yeah, if you can't handle it, you're going to spend so much extra money trying to chase free travel. It's only for the people that can be responsible and organized. And if you can be responsible and organized, then you're going to be able to travel the world for free in first class.
Yeah. So that's definitely a really good piece of advice to keep in mind, because it's only worth it if you don't have these extra costs. And, you know, no one wants to do that. So let's say that someone has bad credit, or even they're international and maybe there aren't as many credit card offers out there for them with cool sign-up bonuses. What do you do to travel hack in this case? You mentioned that there was a few strategies that you could still try to collect miles without opening credit cards. So what are some of these strategies?
So figure out your favorite program, and just Google that program and then the words earn miles, and you'll see that there's dozens of opportunities to earn any types of miles. You can earn miles when you buy a paid flight and then fly it. You'll earn miles when if you sign up for that airline's dining program and then you eat at restaurants affiliated with the program, you'll earn miles. If you get an insurance quote or your mortgage through a certain bank, you can earn miles all of these ways. Okay. So I don't think these ways are as lucrative as credit card sign-up bonuses, but if they're all you have, you can definitely earn some miles through all these ways. Just take a look at each deal and see whether it offers you a good number of miles for something you're already doing.
Yeah, so... Oh, sorry, I was going to say, I know that there's a lot of marketplaces online where you could even buy your laptop or just various things that you already need in your life, through there, and you get extra miles for those purchases.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think with those, be careful that those are really easy to use. You just go to like the United Mall or something and then click on the links to regular websites through that, and just through tracking your browser, it knows that you started in the United Mall, and so you'll earn bonus United miles for your purchases. With those, you want to be careful that you're getting the best price. You want to comparison shop and see if somewhere not affiliated maybe is offering a lower price. And then just make sure you're buying things you want to need, because what you'll find with those programs is the partners that have really high margins, like 1-800-Flowers or magazines.com, they might offer you 20 miles per dollar for your purchase, but you're probably buying something overpriced that you don't want. And the partners that offer the widest selection at the lowest prices, like Walmart or Amazon, might get 1 mile per dollar, or they might not even be included in the mall because they just have such low margins.
Okay. Yeah, that's good point to keep in mind. So you want to make sure you're not being marked up for buying it on that portal.
Yeah, so you can earn miles all those ways, or you can even buy miles in certain cases.
All right.
So I just had a post up today actually about buying Avianca Life Miles. So there's this Colombian airline called Avianca, and they call their miles Life Miles, and they frequently offer them for sale for 1.5 cents each. And this is only of interest because Avianca is a member of the Star Alliance, so it's the same alliance as United, Air Canada, Lufthansa, a ton of European airlines, a ton of Asian airlines. So if you buy their miles, you can then redeem those miles for award trips on any of their partner airlines. And it's usually not a good deal to buy miles at full price, but when they're discounted to 1.5 cents each, if you want to fly a business class trip or a first class trip, this could be a really a way to get big savings over the list price that you would normally pay with cash.
So what would full price be? If discount price is 1.5 cents, full price would be what?
Full price is 3.3 cents. So to
Oh,
give you an idea, Avianca Life Miles, it costs 63,000 Life Miles for a one way in business class between the United States and Europe.
wow. Okay.
So at 1.5 cents each, it's going to be about $1,000 for a one way in business class, which is a lot of money, but that's about half of what a cash ticket normally costs.
Wow.
But at 3.3 cents, you're looking at over $2,200 for a one-way in business class. You could buy that with cash, so that's not a good deal.
Right. So if you are someone who maybe travels on business class or you want to kind of take a luxury trip, this would be a great deal because you're basically getting over 50% off the cost of what regular business class would cost.
Yeah, I mean, ideally you would just get your miles from credit cards or from flying, but as a last case scenario, you can buy them cheaply sometimes. I have a friend who travels for business to Europe so much he couldn't possibly earn enough miles to do it all the time. So he likes to buy Life Miles during the sales and book about $2,000 round trips in business class instead of paying $4,000 or $5,000 cash for the same flights.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And is this one of those situations where it doesn't really make as much sense to book economy because the return's not as good? What would a booking economy class flight be?
It's about $500 one way. So depending on where you live and where you're going, that's about average, I think, for an
Yeah.
economy ticket. So I think the sweet business, because Life Miles are region-based miles, so the sweet spot with region-based miles is usually international business, international first class.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good for the listeners to keep in mind is that the sweet spot really is business class or first class because it's the best bang for your buck there. Now, we talked a lot about flight programs, but what about booking hotels? How do you hack your accommodation? Are there credit cards our listeners can open to gain points for hotels or other travel hacking strategies you'd suggest?
Sure. There are hotel credit cards, and they generally fall into two types. There's the types that have a sign-up bonus quoted in a number of points, and the type that has a sign-up bonus quoted in a number of free nights. So the ones that offer free nights, like the Chase Hyatt card or the Hilton Reserve card, they both offer free nights at any Hilton or any Hyatt worldwide after you meet the minimum spending requirement. Those are great if you want to stay in like a luxury hotel. I'm talking like a $1,000 a night hotel,
Yeah.
like your own villa in Phuket, Thailand, or something.
Okay.
And then there's the ones that offer points. Like right now, the City Hilton Honors card is offering 75,000 bonus points after the minimum spending requirement. And those are good when you want a big quantity of free nights. Like that sign-up bonus can basically get you 20 free nights at the cheapest Hiltons worldwide from one credit card.
Wow, so that's pretty good, again, bang for your buck.
Yeah. But I don't even
Go
spend
ahead.
a lot of time in hotels when I travel. I usually do Airbnb and
Yeah.
just rent this place because I find it's cheaper in a lot of places. I like having a kitchen. And with a program like Airbnb, there is a referral program. So if you refer your friends, you can get free Airbnb stays. And there are just other free ways to travel, like house sitting.
Yeah.
So there's no one should ever think travel is too expensive, and no one should ever think lodging during the travel is too expensive.
Yeah, I use Airbnb a lot and I love it for the same reasons you mentioned. It's nice having a kitchen and just a bit more space. And I hate being charged for wireless at hotels after you're already spending a lot of money. It just drives me crazy. So, as you mentioned, there are a lot of other good options for accommodations. But those are two good suggestions that you mentioned for getting free night stays if that's a route that you do want to go. So, those are two credit cards you mentioned, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right, well, that sounds good. So far there's been a lot of really good information on how to collect points for travel, how to, collect points or hack your accommodation. Scott listed two different ways that you can earn free stays, but as he mentioned, there's a lot of different ways that you can travel for cheap or even free. I know my brother actually just couch surfed across Canada, and had a great time doing it. But depending on the type of travel you are or the situation you're in, that, may or may not be right for you. Now, when it comes to all of this stuff, I'm sure there's some tools or websites that you use and love. Do you have any recommendations for ways to manage your points or, again, just favorite tools or websites that you use?
Yeah, so first, I'm a member of like 30 frequent flyer programs and hotel programs. So I track all of those on a website called Award Wallet. It's totally free and it tracks your balances and the expiration date, if any. So that's invaluable for me. And it even tracks the number, the frequent flyer number, so I can remember that if I'm trying to sign in or something. There's a website I really like called Seat Guru, where if you book a flight, it'll show you when you book a flight, you can see which airline and aircraft are operating that flight, and you can go to SeatGuru and find that airline and aircraft and see what the seat map is, and it even color codes which seats it thinks are the best for you. So
Okay.
when you're seat selecting, you can make sure you get the right one.
Yeah, because it's always awful getting on a flight and you have a seat that doesn't recline or it's right near the bathroom or something like that. So that website kind of guides you to what the best seats on the airplane are.
Yeah, exactly. Those are two of the things specifically that it'll mention too, the seat recline and proximity to bathrooms or galleys on board.
Okay. Cool. And what about when it comes to booking your flights? I mean, do you ever pay for flights anymore?
Yeah, I do. I do pay for flights. A lot of times it's not with cash. A lot of times it's with credit card points that are pretending to be
Right.
miles. They're really just cash towards any ticket. But it's definitely important to be able to find the cheapest cash tickets. So a couple things I do, I use a site called, which is now owned by Google, but you can find it at matrix.itasoftware.com.
Okay.
And you just search some really specific things, like you can search a month at a time for trips between two places of between 7 and 10 nights, or you can search only on a certain airline or only with a certain number of stops on a certain airline. And so that'll show you the cheapest flights, and then you can't actually book a flight there. You have to go book somewhere else, like the airline's website. But it's a good place for research. And then my favorite way to find cheap flights is with just kayak.com price alerts.
Okay.
So if you run a search and then set up an automatic price alert, you can get it to email you every day what the price on that route is. And then it's simple. It'll even show you a graph, so you can track it over time, and then I just wait until the price drops and I book. So I save a lot of money with the kayak price alerts.
And you do like I think I would get nervous about maybe like today's deal is the cheapest flight and panic and probably book too soon. But do you are you pretty good at waiting it out?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not guaranteed you will buy at the exact time because no one knows whether tomorrow prices will go up or
Right.
down, but If I just track it for a little bit, usually you'll be surprised by how big the swings can be, a couple $100 a day sometimes, and just on one of those downswings, I'll just book, and then I'll turn off the alerts so I don't get any more emails in case it goes down. I don't want to know.
Yeah, exactly. That you might have not waited long enough. And I think if I'm not mistaken, Kayak also has like an indicator where it's like we're 87% confident you should book today. Do you find that accurate?
I don't know. I see that and I wonder
Yeah.
how accurate it is. So I usually don't use that as much as just waiting for an actual price drop and then buying, but I guess that's better than just guessing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, well, that's cool. I'm gonna have to try out that tip with the waiting for the kayak alerts. That's a really good piece of advice. So far we've gone over and covered how to collect different types of miles for airline flights, and you mentioned there's five different types of miles, so that's really useful information. And you talked a little bit about accommodation and some of the tools that you use. So I think all of this combined is really going to be helpful for our listeners. And as you mentioned earlier, really just start with one goal, focus on that goal, and figure out what the best credit card is for that. If you want to fly to Stockholm, maybe the United one's great, as you mentioned, but maybe if you want to go to Asia, there's another credit card that would be better to sign up for. So focus on that one goal. And I know, Scott, you also have a service where you will work with someone with their goals to advise them on what the best approach is to achieve it. Is that right?
Yes. So I have, well, what I have is I have an award booking service. So if someone already has miles and they have a dream trip in mind, they can hire my award booking service for $125 per person, and we will book their trip with their miles. And
Okay.
if we can't do it, then they don't have to pay us. But before that point, though, to get the right, I hate it when people come to me with the wrong miles for their
Yeah.
goals. I feel like it was a waste. They spent all this time preparing and they didn't get it right. So if anyone listening to this podcast wants to make sure that they are collecting the right miles for the right goal, they can just email me directly, scott@milevalue.com. State very succinctly where they are, where they want to go, in what cabin, how many people, and I'll tell them which credit cards to open to get started towards that goal. Although, as we were talking about earlier, that offer is only open to Americans because only Americans can open the best credit cards.
Yeah, and I guess if you really wanted to get into travel hacking, you could get an EIN number, which you get for businesses, American businesses, because I know I'm a Canadian myself, and I have an EIN number because I have a business in the States, and you can get that online actually. So again, I haven't looked into that too much for other international people, but I think there might be something there too.
Well, you should open a lot of business credit cards. There's almost as many great business credit card offers as personal credit card offers. You could use that for your free travel.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, I think, something that I'm going to test out myself, and I'll report back to all of the rest of the international people on this call too and let you know how that goes. Because I know, again, on Scott's blog that he talks about all the different business credit card offers too. So really should check out milevalue.com, especially if you're looking to figure out what credit card to open, because he's got a lot of great posts on that for different circumstances. And Scott, I really appreciate you sharing your email with our listeners, because that's invaluable as well. Like you said, if you are wondering what credit card to open, shoot them an email so you're not wasting your time pursuing the wrong path that's not going to be optimal for booking. So thank you so much, Scott, for being here. This was really, really good information. I really appreciate it.
All right, thanks for having me.
No problem.